A-side's got hype, but people root for the underdog. There may be a main event, but don't sleep on the undercard. Welcome to the B-side, you can take your sneaks off, take you for a sweet ride. Ah, info we supply, worldwide, thanks for flipping to the B-side, yeah.
Hosted by Brian McKay.
Thank you for flipping to the B-side. As always, I'm your host, Brian McKay. We're just going to start off this episode by thanking everyone for their thoughts and words about our previous episode where we dove into a little bit of Avengers, a little bit of my review of the basketball love story, and everyone enjoyed my rant on fast food restaurants. I appreciate all of that. Today, I'm going to... My big focus for this episode will be righting a mistake, a portion of my review of a basketball love story that I omitted from the past episode and did not realize until I listened to it back, which one thing I will say I hardly ever do. I very rarely listen to my old episodes because I don't like to hear myself. As funny as that is, here I am. I have 3 podcasts and I don't like to listen to my own voice. So I actually happened to listen back to my last episode just to kind of get pieces of it and realize that there was one person I left out, and that would be Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, Chris Jackson, the former Chris Jackson from Gulfport, Mississippi. I left out a lot about him that pertains to me as it comes to my love of basketball, and I'm going to share that with you all here at the end of this episode. But first, I want to just kind of give my thoughts on another subject that's a little bit more recent with the college football national championship game. You had the Clemson Tigers taking on the Alabama Crimson Tide. Clemson won for the second time in 4 years, and now they... It's funny, they kept throwing that stat up there, how similar, I mean, literally almost down to the number that Alabama and Clemson are as far as record-wise and number of championships in the last 4 years and everything. I mean, it was almost completely, the same in every category. But not so much a review of the game, but just because I'm not a football aficionado, so I'm not going to break down every piece and nook and cranny of that complete butt-kicking that Clemson put on. But I do want to just give my thoughts on a few things that's happened in the aftermath. Just all over the sports media, fans, they're all calling for Nick Saban to get rid of the defensive coordinator. Now, mind you, the defensive coordinator, once again, I'm not going to break down every piece because I don't know football in that manner. But you can see that there was a lot of different glitches in the game plan, and Clemson took complete advantage of that. But here's my thing on it. All year long, every single time you had an Alabama game, one of the things that people in the media and whatever would constantly harp on as being kind of a deficiency for Alabama was their defense. You know, Jeremy Pruitt left last year, went to Tennessee to be head coach this year. They graduated a lot. They had a lot of players going to the NFL. And even though as much as you can call more 4 and 5 stars a deficiency, that was one quote-unquote, as I'm doing my air quotes here on a podcast where y'all are listening and not watching, that was one of their quote-unquote deficiencies, something that, was something that teams could exploit. Reason it fell on deaf ears for many, many people was throughout the year, Tua Tagovailoa and the offense just destroyed people. That's why they went undefeated throughout the entire season. The offense was just lights out. But one thing that you constantly heard, way to beat Alabama, here's what you need. Here's what you need. You need a defense that can stand up to their offense. Clemson checked that box. You need a quarterback who can be mobile, get out the pocket, and still make plays in the pocket, outside the pocket, with his legs and his arm. Trevor Lawrence, check that box. You need your playmakers on the outside. They got some stud wide receivers in Clemson. They've, you know, here in many recent years, they've had many stud receivers from Clemson. And also, you would need a running game that can keep Alabama's defense off, honest. And that's what they had. They had those things. They all checked every one of those boxes. And you see what it got them. Got them a second national championship in 4 years. And many people questioning Nick Saban. It's funny how it goes. It's just funny how the, you know, things happen. I mean, they're questioning if Nick Saban has lost a step. He lost one game. But yeah, I can't stand that person who will stand there and completely dog the defensive coordinator as if, you know, he can only do what he has. And he had, they're still big-time players, yes, because Alabama doesn't do anything but big-time players. But these guys were young. They were clearly outmatched with Clemson's offensive players. I mean, it wasn't – you can only do so much with X's and O's. At the end of the day, what really matters is the Jimmys and the Joes. And I've always believed that because I've seen it. Like I talked about my dad being a coach down here on the Mississippi Gulf Coast for years in high school. I've seen it. I know full well how much basketball knowledge he has. He has a ton. And he constantly would have year after year after year of just struggling to win games with his teams because he didn't have the player. You can only do so much with X's and O's. You don't have the Jimmys and the Joes, you can only go so far. And that's why it's not the defensive coordinator's fault. He did not lose that game for Alabama. Clemson's offensive players destroyed Alabama's young defensive core. And you watch, those Alabama guys, they will get back in, they'll get back in there, they'll practice, they'll get better, they'll get more experience, and they'll be right back next year. They will. Hear me out. It's not 100% about the X's and the O's. A big chunk of winning games comes down to the Jimmys and the Joes, and Clemson had more that night. So that's my rant, a little bit of on the college football national championship. But now down to the real reason for my episode today. Like I said, my basketball love story review, I left out a good chunk of that. Unknowingly, I guess I just got to talking and just completely skipped over talking about him. But Chris Jackson, as we now know him, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. But I say Chris Jackson because that's when I first started watching him and knowing him as a player, when he was at Gulfport High School. And I was just barely, you know, walking, just a 5-6-year-old little boy. Saw him play. There, saw him play as he went to LSU and became a star there. Then he was drafted by the Denver Nuggets. And in 1991, he converted to Islamic faith and becomes Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. I remember the first time I saw him in person when he was a professional player was when the Denver Nuggets came down to the Mississippi Gulf Coast to play a preseason game. And they had an autograph signing, and, you know, I was in line. I got up there and got his autograph, and I don't even have that basketball anymore. I'm sure that it was destroyed in Hurricane Katrina, which, and it's funny that Hurricane Katrina happened in 2005, and still today, in 2019, I'm still thinking about things that I lost in that storm. That was a crazy, crazy storm. But back to Abdul-Rauf, and people now may not know him as much, but if you get a chance, check out the Big Three, the 3-on-3 basketball league that Ice Cube has opened up. It will be in its third year this coming summer. Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf plays in that league and is one of the major stars because he's almost 60. I mean, he's in his 50s. You know, almost 60 years old, still in great shape, And there's one thing he can do well that always travels, no matter how old, you know, you get, he can shoot it. And once you are a shooter, once you're able to be able to shoot consistently, that's something that don't ever leave. And he can flat out let it fly. And he's very entertaining to watch, even at this age. And it's funny because he's all gray-haired, and but he's still in, like I said, phenomenal shape and can still let it go. The reason he is so important to me, just growing up, like I said in previous podcasts, I had scoliosis, wasn't ever able to play, you know, for any type of team basketball-wise because no physical was ever going to clear me to play, you know, middle school, high school, anything like that because of my scoliosis. But I did play basketball recreationally, you know, with friends and whatnot. One thing that I always, like I said, I even played, I would imagine games on my own out there playing on my own personal goal where I would play by myself and just enact different moments in time. Like I said before, I would play on Michael Jordan's team with the Chicago Bulls, and I would be the one, not John Paxson, not Steve Kerr, I would be the one he was passing to when he get double-teamed, and I would knock down the game-winning shot. And that's, you know, I would get out there and I would replay those moments and have fun doing it. But all that, you know, all that aside, when I was doing those things, when I would play recreationally with my friends, I envisioned myself, because one thing that I have not ever shared was the surgeries that I had as a young kid. And I kind of, there's other words to describe it, but I'll just say fused my spine, where I would only grow to a certain point. You know, if everybody who has met my family, I look like I was adopted because my entire family is 6 foot or taller, all the way up to 6 foot six. So, so when people see my family and they look at me like, what happened to you? I just laugh and tell them that I'm like my grandma, because my grandma's, my mother's mother is really, really short. So I always jokingly say that, you know, me and grandma are the runts of the family. But with the fusion of the spine, I knew that I was only going to, you know, grow to a certain point. So I would make, you know, I would, when I was practicing, when anytime I was out there playing on my own, I would play as the little guy. And that's what Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, Chris Jackson, whatever you want to call him, that's what he was. He was that little guy that was just dominant on the basketball court. And he was putting up, I mean, he would score 50 and 60 a night. Just with the ease. And that's how I patterned my game. But not only was he a great shooter, this is one thing that's underrated about him. And if you watch and you study film on him, you see this. He saw the floor. He was a great passer. And that's one thing that I was always keying on. Because I was never a great shooter. my dad and my brother got those genes. I tried to do everything else. I mean, I've actually had people tell me, now mind you, I was not playing with NBA, college basketball, in any kind of caliber athlete, you know, any athlete of that caliber when I was playing recreationally. But I've actually had people jokingly say to me, it's like you have eyes in the back of your head when I play, because I was able, you know, to make the no-look pass. And it's not, and people who actually play basketball will understand this. It's not that I have, you know, no, I don't have eyes in the back of my head. I just, it's perfection. It's seeing the floor. And that's one thing that a lot of kids today don't really know. Don't really, you know, they're just out there playing. They don't ever really fathom this, don't ever think about this. But if you can see the entire floor, you know, unlock your peripheral vision and you can see it all unfold. I mean, like a good point guard should. There's so much damage you could create. I mean, you can see things happen before they even happen. You know what's fixing that. You know a player's fixing to go here. That's why I've always said the point guard is the most important player on the team. He might not be the best player, but he's the most important because he has to know everybody's position. He has to be able to see where they're going, see what they're going to do. And Chris Jackson was that player. Now, he could go get his own shot, which was great because he could just flat out score. And but he, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, he was that stud. And still today, still killing it in the 3-on-3 league, the big three. Great player, someone that I looked up to, someone that I patterned myself after. And it's funny, go back to, you know, people telling me that I looked like I had eyes in the back of my head with some of the passes I could make out there, and kind of liking me to a Pete Maravich type. It's funny that, because I would watch, you know, I was not yet old enough to see Pete Maravich play, but I did watch all videos and all his different movies about his life and stuff like that. It's funny that I would pattern my game after two players. Me growing up, a huge Ole Miss fan, a huge Ole Miss person, I patterned my game after two players that played at a rival school, LSU. So that was kind of interesting. But no, Chris Jackson, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, huge part of my basketball fandom, and someone that I've always looked up to and continue to marvel at his greatness still today. So that being said, I know this is kind of a short episode as compared to other ones I've had, but I did want to get that out there. Let me know. This is what I would love. I'd love for people to comment. Let me know what you think. All my basketball players out there, who did you pattern your game after? So feel free to comment on this episode. Let me know. Give me a review online on Apple, iTunes. You can give me a review on Spotify, Google Play. Tune in wherever you're getting this podcast. Don't be shy. Leave a review. Let me know what you think. Things that you like, things you don't like. Hey, I'm up for it all. Just remember when you're doing the star method, that 4 and the 5 stars, that's all that's required. The stars below that, they don't count. So let's don't just pass them on up. Go to 4 and 5, and I appreciate you, your support. But yeah, let me know who was it that you looked up to growing up, and we'll stretch it out to even someone further than basketball. In your field that you're in right now, is it something that you saw yourself doing, you know, when you were little? Is it something you envisioned doing? And if so, who did you look up to in those points, in that point in time, that made you think, oh, that's where I'm going to be when I grow up? Who was that? Let me know. Hit me up, Twitter, at the B-Side Podcast, Instagram, at the B-Side Podcast, on Facebook, we're at the B-Side Podcast. Everywhere you look, that's what you're going to find, the B-Side Podcast. Email me, thebsidepodcast@gmail.com. Get me and let me know what you think. But as always, this is Brian McKay, and I thank you for flipping to the B-Side. You can listen to the B-Side Podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Spotify, and TuneIn. Also, be sure to check out our YouTube channel. Please be sure to follow our show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at the B-Side Podcast. That's at the B-Side Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to get all the updates and different things happening with our podcast. Be sure to email us any questions, comments, what you think you like about the show, what you don't like. Our email address is thebsidepodcast@gmail.com. That's thebsidepodcast@gmail.com.
The A-Side's got hype, but people root for the underdog. There may be a main event, but don't sleep on the undercard. Welcome to the B-Side. You can take your sneaks off, take you for a sweet ride. Ah, info is supply worldwide. Thanks for flipping to the B-Side. Yeah.
Hosted by Brian McKay.